Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book in a bed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Book and a Bev. We are your hosts, Franny, Ellie, Georgia. Grab hold of your cowboy hat, slap on some chaps, and choke me like a good girl. We're reading Powerless by Elsie Silver.
There's a lot of joking, so you were bang on.
And someone make me fucking crawl. I would crawl on my hands and knees. I would crawl backwards like the fucking Exorcist if I had to get to Jasper.
Georgia crawling backwards down the stairs with the blue cowboy hat on. Like,
yes. Oh my God. Thank you. Now that's in everyone's mind. They could have nightmares for the rest of the night.
Crawling after Jasper.
Yeah. What are we drinking, ladies?
Well, on theme now. You started the choking jokes and now it's just going to keep going. So I'm going to be drinking shots of Fireball so that I can choke while imagining it's Jasper choking me out.
Holy shit.
Okay, so first of all, it was the milk, right? Straight away, you were off to a bad start, right? Last week, what did you drink? What did you drink last week?
Normal. Jack and Coke, smooth, dark, hands and paid.
All right, so you're doing fucked, normal, fucked.
Yeah.
Okay, well, all right.
Good luck with that.
Ellie's like, no.
Well, tonight I have wine. For a surprising twist, she's back on the alcohol because I was powerless in resisting its temptation. Say what I did there.
Look, I am drinking Jack and Coke, but this glass, it was filled to the brim with crushed ice. That is gone now. So now it is just Jack and Coke. And it was ice because he's an ice hockey player. You know, it was just, it was that, you know. Well, what were our thoughts on this book?
All right. This is my second favourite book of the series at this stage. Like, my current ranking is Heartless, Powerless, Flawless. You guys know that my weakness is a traumatised man. And when he is tattooed, I mean, what am I meant to do with that? Say less. I loved so much about this book. I loved the glimpses at our favourites in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the MC stole the show. The way that Sloane has been giving so much of herself that she was about to fall into a life not of her own choosing, only for her to finally choose herself. And then Jasper discovering the literal power of the pussy, I mean love, and becoming a whole new man. I frothed over it. And honestly, to quote Georgia in our priest episode, Jasper's filthy fucking mouth could kill a fucking child.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the sheer amount of jizz that was expelled in this book meant a lot of children died, but fuck it up, I'm here for it. And Sloane,
yep.
I love it. She's crazy and laughs at all the wrong moments, and I just adore her.
Well, what in the 50 Shades of Grey was this book? Holy hell. Semen flying everywhere, on everything. And Sloane, the very proper prima ballerina, just taking it like a champ. She's just handling
taking
that
it
deep.
Like
just
a champ.
Get it, girl. But this is just another Elsie Silver book that has my heart. I mean, she can do no wrong at this point.
Well, none.
Their relationship, the female friendships, the wholesome family vibes, like at Christmas. Oh my God. It's just perfection. I adore it all. In saying that, I will rage if the relationship blossoms between Granddaddy Harvey and his dead wife's sister. Georgia has gone very quiet. She's got a suspicious look on her face. I don't like where this is headed. I don't like it at all. But anyway, we're going to move on. My favorite thing, the whole you're my person moment. Oh, right in the Grey's Anatomy feels. It's just perfection. I love it. I love this book. I have no criticisms.
Oh my God. I also like just literal tears. Tears for Jasper and Sloane and their fucking love story. And it's always the quiet ones that have the absolute most filthy mouths, you know? And boy, oh fucking boy, does Jasper have a filthy mouth. But their story is like friends to lovers, and I usually don't care too much for them. But fuck me sideways, this book was fucking everything. And that's literally all I have to say. I loved it. I loved it. As Bryony said, if I had to rate them at this point in time, it's, yeah, Heartless, Powerless, Flawless.
So does that mean Reckless sits higher?
For me, it does.
Yeah, I think it has to. Should we get into it?
Let's get cracking.
So we'll start with our characters, but by now you know our rotating roster of Eatons because they're going to eat us.
Yeah, they can be quite eating me out. Mm-hmm.
Eating this pussy, eating this ass, eating my heart out.
Oh, yeah, out tracks.
Subtract the middle one and yes. We will just reacquaint you with our main characters for this book. So we start with Jasper Gervais, a.k.a. Jasper Cullen. He is tall, tattooed and traumatised. He's also a pro hockey player, and we all know how we feel about ice hockey players.
Yeah.
Okay. That's strong views.
He likes to cope with his childhood trauma and abandonment issues with complete control in the bedroom. That's fine. We're going to accept him as he is.
I am all here for that. Absolutely. Take me.
I'm like,
oh, no, I have issue with the control in the bedroom. That is a person that needs therapy.
You want to fix him? I would make him worse. I would take him as he is.
If the sex improves with the traumatic backstory, he clearly needs more trauma. So let me provide that. Anyway, when he loses control of his feelings for his childhood bestie, things change.
Yes.
Okay? Then we have Sloane Winthrop, which, oh my God, rich name. She is a prima ballerina and Canadian old money, absolute A-plus of a people pleaser, but was never able to please herself as her heart was tied up in the ice skate laces of her childhood best friend, aka cousin. But it's fine. Moving on past that. Then we have Sterling Woodcock.
So unfortunate. Woodcock.
Mm-hmm.
How much wood could a woodcock cock if a woodcock could chuck?
None. Here's the answer to that riddle. None. He is about as dense in the head as the name sounds, but currently he is Sloane's fiancé. We all agree, definitely pro-Trump. And then we have Robert and Cordelia Winthrop, which, again, imagine that on a wedding invitation. Like, so fucking fancy. They're Sloane's parents. They're neither here nor there. We'll just jump right on in, shall we? So the book begins with a prologue where our FMC is a mere 10-year-old who has laid eyes on Jasper for the very first time and instantly has fanny flutters. We have all been that pre-pubescent little girl having feels for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And she's told to think of him as her new cousin, that there ain't no blood relation, so carry on.
Carry on, your wayward son.
Well, it would be a wayward son at this point. Now in the present day, Jasper is attending a pre-wedding celebratory dinner with Sloane and her fiancé, Woodcock, also now known as Pencil Dick. Because wood, pencil, cock, dick.
Yeah.
You see what I've done there? Yeah, there we go. It seems as though the Richie Rich in this book have quite the affinity with Scar and like to kill unassuming lions for funsies, which is just great. Jasper can't relate though, because even though he's a fancy ice hockey player, he is a povo, and povos can only watch dead lions on their TVs.
Yeah.
So Pencil Dick talks over the top of his future wife, ignores her, condescends her, and collectively, we will all rise to hunt this man like the poor lions he murders as a hobby.
Yes, we will.
Jasper will join us on this quest because he is not a fan of Pencil Dick. He goes to leave, and Sloane follows him out. Distinction there. She's staying with Pencil Dick for now. And Sloane is looking like a perfect Stepford wife, but with like miserable eyes and no soul.
Yeah.
Jasper sees this and asks if she's happy. She is shocked because no one has asked her that, which is kind of sad if you consider, like, who are you keeping in your circle if no one has realized the atrocious human you've attached yourself to? But also, were you just not present for that entire interaction? Like, this man that you have known for 5 months that you're about to marry is a raging cunt.
Such a dick.
Ugh.
This, like, Sloane in this first bit is giving me that. Have you guys heard that song? It's like Young Love and Old Money. It's like, my father says marry for money. Rich man's jokes are always funny. Nobody knows what I need. Very this vibe.
Just, they yikes.
Definitely. They end up having this beautiful hug. He, like, cradles her head into him. It's a whole thing. It happens throughout the book. It's beautiful.
Love their hugs. He
calls her Sunny, and she calls him Jazz.
Oh,
I die. It's perfect. But then it's her wedding day. And Sloane is experiencing the exact opposite of her ideal wedding. The whole thing is wrong. Vibes are high. Wedding morning. We're feeling it. Mimosas are pouring. Here we go. She has this hectic updo with all of these like bobby pins in her hair, and they're stabbing into her skull. And we as women have all felt this pain.
The ballet dancer in me is cringing.
And even like the description of her feet, like how she needs massages. Anyway, Violet is with her and she's like, babe, if you want to run, I will get you the fuck out of here. But Sloane's just too far gone. Even though she is squeezing her palms so hard, she has drawn blood. But it's fine. She's committed to the plan. But that is until she is sent a video of said pencil dick being ridden by some hoe.
Oh dear. He's actually, you know, the hose that you use for the lawn, for the farms. He's actually just, someone's just got dick. One of those.
That's impossible. Unless he's it is. Cut off by it. But that sounds like a different book.
Horror erotica.
No. No.
That sounds like something from the Mindfuck series.
No.
I see it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jasper gets wind of some premarital tension and decides to intervene. He's like, there's yelling, say less.
I'll see if there's any drama anywhere. We're like, where? Yes, we're involved.
Sloane is like just remarkably calm though, despite the whole like stripper pencil dick scenario. But Sterling, on the other hand, is not okay with Jasper being here. He tries to fight him, fight in quotation
marks. Pulled him up.
And Jasper, he basically just stiff arms him like he's a little toddler and then just like yanks him out of the room. It is glorious. It is perfection. And Sloane just starts laughing hysterically.
I love her.
Me.
That is you, actually. Then they flash back to when they were little and they used to sit on the roof together. He's like all silent and quiet and traumatized. So she'd just like talk to him so he wasn't alone. And it's beautiful, but it's also my life because it's really just me incessantly talking at Lockie and him just like politely nodding back.
That's me too. Don't worry. That's me. Aiden's always just like, I'll just bet. I'm like talking about whatever the hell I'm talking about. And Aiden's just like,
So Sloane wants out of this wedding and wants to run away to the ranch, which, same.
At this stage, we're all there.
Whenever you want, we're ready. Willa has decided to stage a distraction in a completely Willa-like way.
I love her so much.
Clutching her stomach, like screaming, which FYI, this book is set like in between the last chapter and the epilogue of Heartless. So the baby's not been born yet. She's screaming, pretending she's in pain.
Here Kate's just like deadpan having, like sipping his drink slowly, being like, yep, here she goes again.
But it works, surprisingly, and everyone's focusing on Willa, so it means that Jasper and Sloane can just like bolt the fuck out of it, and they just start running. They're just Usain Bolt getting 100 meters sprint down.
They're Sha'Carri Richardson.
It turns out that Jasper is very economical and he is parked in a free car parking spot, which is like 500 kilometers away.
Amazing.
In this climate with this price, I shall park and walk. But doesn't help for Sloane because she's running in the snow barefoot in her wedding dress.
Yeah, it's a whole vibe.
So he gives her a piggyback. And now we know that I am picturing Twilight-esque piggybacks in a slow motion run, but it's actually fast.
Yeah, hold on tight, spider monkey, indeed.
Jesus.
He helps her take her hair out. I die. Perfection. Sloane understandably needs alcohol at this point in time, and she opts to walk in to the local Bottle-O, which for you non-Australians is the place where you buy alcohol. Yeah. And she buys the worst beer available. Good for you. I could not handle that yeast.
Pop off, sis, though.
So they start their drive to the ranch, and Sloane tells Jasper about what her dream wedding actually is and what her dream ring was and how Sterling fucked it all up. And he was like, noted. But the fun is over when they arrive because our granddaddy is sitting at the table and he is just stoic and it's not like him at all. And it's all because Beau is missing.
Oh my God.
It turns out that Beau is missing in action. And I'm hopeful for his survival and return purely because his trauma that he's experienced.
The golden retriever turned broken male. Take me as I am.
And I love military stories as well.
Yeah.
Eat it all. Yeah. It's also a little bit fucked up with us, but that's okay.
It is. Absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
So Jasper flashes back to the first time that he met Beau, and it's very Pretty Little Liars, Hannah and Caleb slash like It Ends With Us, Atlas and Lily, but platonic male friendship vibes.
Yeah.
So Sloane and Jasper relive their childhood and they sit on their roof and they commiserate together. It's really been a shitty day.
Yeah.
It's just a time.
What a time.
The next day, Sloane tags along with Jasper for his game. But first, she needs to go get an outfit that isn't her wedding dress or farm flannies. So she drags him to Walmart and proceeds to give him an anugasm.
An anugasm!
Because she's tried on his Guernsey. So his name, his number, the whole shebang. But then she discovers drugstore makeup for the first time and she freaks the fuck out. Because she's realizing that the same products exist for pobos. And she's just gone, oh my God, what is this?
What is that?
They make makeup for poor people. She's lost her tiny mind, it's fine. But they go to his game and he plays terribly and the team loses. So huzzah!
Huzzah!
He ends up then having to tell the team about Bo because they've lost 4 games in a row now. Things aren't looking too great for them. And he's like, I kind of need to explain my terrible form. His coach benches him for 2 weeks to sort his shit out. But in like a nice way, he's kind of like, I care about you.
Yeah.
Just take a breather.
Said with love, but you're fucked.
Said with love, but kindly fuck off out of here. So he is miserable and he is scared, but Sloane is just making him feel better.
It's so beautiful.
Sloane then reminisces on how she ended up a runaway bride, and we learn her father set up the marriage to help him with his business endeavors.
My father said marry for money. Rich men's jokes are always funny.
But she pretty much just said, yes, daddy, I will marry the pencil dick and please him. So you can continue making money and treating everyone around you like a possession. No worries. The patriarchy.
Not me just realizing that the patriarchy is held up by white women, hey?
Mm-hmm. Men would be nothing without the woman.
Not
true. But it's fine because now she's realizing things. She's in her recovery girl era. Things are happening for her. So between Jasper losing his mind with Bo and hockey and Sloane discovering that she has been her father's puppet her entire life and then both knowing that they're in love with each other but are too chicken shit to admit it, things are great. But Sloane's mum calls her, which, you know, it's only been 5 weeks since she ran away from her wedding, so it's not like she's concerned. She's like, now feels like the right time to check in on my daughter. But mummy does tell her that if she were her right now, she would go away for a little while, which is as close to telling her to stay the fuck away from pencil dick and never look back, but classier.
Yeah.
So Jasper is wallowing. The guy clearly has a lot of trauma from a fucked up childhood and the whole, like, your brother might be dead thing is sending him over the edge. But Sloane is there. She cradles his hand after he punches it through the wall and she snuggles him in bed and they laugh about Rhett falling off a llama.
Oh.
Which does sound pretty fucking funny.
It does sound really funny. Summer would love that. Summer would fucking love that.
Yeah, it's all very sweet. I love it. But then he wakes up and he's trying to convince himself that the girl in his bed wearing his Guernsey is just his friend. But we all know that he's a lying liar who lies.
You're lying, liar.
He ventures out to the kitchen. There's much banter before Harvey essentially tells them that he has his own why choose situation going on. I must know more.
Harvey, you damn dog!
Because they're talking about like Viagra and he's like, I don't need that. And they're like, well, tell us about your dating life. And he's like, got many options. Why would I choose one?
You saucy minx.
You saucy minx.
As it turns out, Violet needs hay at her place, which I'm sure she does.
Look, so, I've been on many a hay run in my time, so I know this experience.
But why have you gone on hay runs, Bryony? You live in the suburbs.
Horse girl.
Horse girl, I forgot.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Well, now the whole cowboy thing makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
That's good. Jasper volunteers as tribute to run the hay and Sloane decides to tag along and keep him company. A road trip by themselves. The only road that they're travelling down is to Bonetown and let's just fucking go. There's I Spy in the car. An absolute classic road trip fave, but Jasper chooses her eyes. And we probably get around 3 pages describing her eyes.
Like we die.
Robin's egg blue, glacier lake. It's like the most majestic feature of her. And we all like now have fallen in love with her just a little bit because of that. So it's fine.
Yeah.
They pull into a little hotel overnight and end up with 1 room, 2 beds, but 1 room. So still proximity. But then, okay, we're going to bring it down a little bit here because we have Jasper's dream montage, which is pretty fucking horrible. He's 14. He's out with his family on quad bikes and they get to this intersection, which is tricky to see around. So he goes through first. And when he reaches the other side, he sees a semi-truck coming towards them. And he tries to signal to his little sister to stop. But she thinks he's waving. So she goes.
Oh,
and the whole family witnesses a tiny child be annihilated by a truck. It's just so fucking fucked up, and he feels so responsible. What reasonable adult purchases matching quad bikes for their young family and takes them to a busy intersection for a Sunday ride?
Run, child.
Jenny had no hope with a father
that. It'd be like, for those that are not in South Australia, there is a particular roundabout called the Incredible Terrorist Roundabout.
Oh, God, it's so bad. There's
potentially two roundabouts in close proximity, and they're both, like, three-lane, two-lane situation. It's near the city, so, like, you've got peak hour traffic, and it's chaos. Yeah. Radio stations have done bits where they make, like, a new staff from interstate drive through with no warning.
You literally get out of one roundabout to enter into the second one. Yeah. Like, there's no warning.
You get some children, you put them on quad bikes, and you send them into Incredible Terrace.
Good luck on your journey.
Good luck. Thoughts and prayers.
Fuck it up.
Quad bikes, man. Don't have them.
Children, don't have them.
Either or.
Trucks.
Roundabouts, don't have them.
Don't have them.
None of my business.
Also, who, like, has a hot pink quad bike? Did we learn nothing from Jamie Spears, like, quad bike accident?
Zoe 101, who?
Zoe 101.
She had to leave the show because she was pregnant, and then that child nearly died from a quad bike accident, but she's
accident,
fine.
Yeah.
That was such a good show.
It was, yeah.
Right, here we are. Poor Jasper. So he tries to make himself feel better by looking out the window, which the view is Sloane's ass in a G-banger, about to just enter in to the freezing cold. Like, must I remind you, it's winter in Canada.
Don't She's you bring logic or dip. Weather into this. It's none of our business.
No, none at all. So he goes to join her and exercises some extreme self-control by counting to four to stop himself from mounting her on the spot.
Specifically, four.
Four Mississippis.
And then he's
ready to rail. They play around in the water and they're, like, dunking each other, and then they're playing mermaids. I'm going to be the mermaid with the orange fin, and I can hold my breath underwater for 35 minutes. Literally mermaids. And you can watch me. Oh, my
God. Play mermaid. Good.
Yes, they're under the water having a little frisky touch. There's, like, a hand on the ribs, a hand on the thigh. They're probably taking more risks than they would if they were above water. It's a little risque.
It's okay? The subtle touches for me. I'm like, oh.
He just, like, grabs her ass and it's like, honk.
But just bites it.
Anyway, there's a lot of tension as they rise to the surface, and Jasper's like, I must abort this mission. He's like, remember that time when we were kids and we used to play in the water together with all of our cousins? And she's like, dude,
don't bring up our cousins.
They're not related, remember?
So Sloane basically is just internally screaming for the next hot minute. We continue to learn that Jasper has some extremely bad social anxiety, but Sloane is the only person that sees all of him. We get this quote, I've been staring at Jasper Gervais since I was 10 years old, and suddenly he's staring back.
I die.
We end up having, like, a moment back at the hotel, but of course it gets squished and we all fall into a deep dark depression because of it. Sloane feels like shit the next day, and it's still, like, a little bit awkward. Jasper ends up admitting that he doesn't want relationships because he questions everyone and their motives. He says that his mum calls him sometimes for money, and he ends up talking to Sloane about Jenny's death and how his mum started self-medicating afterwards, and he feels like it's all his fault. So he sends her money basically to atone. And Sloane is doing what we are all doing, which is being like, you have nothing to atone for. She was a child. You were a child. It was a fucking accident.
Oh, it's very sad. But if I were that mother, I also too would have self-medicated the fuck out of this realm.
Yeah, look, self-medication, sure, but don't
blame the surviving child.
Don't blame the surviving child. We learned that he told her when they were younger and they both cried. So when they're sitting on the roof one night, he tells her all of this and she cries. They both cry. We get this little moment, which is Jasper says, I learned with my parents that no matter how fiercely I love someone, it isn't enough to make them stay. But you, I told you every dirty little detail and you could have hated me, but you stayed. You danced. Sloane, I could never hate you, Jas.
But I feel like it's important to know. The dancing. It's the dancing, because he's just been like, I think I killed my sister. And she's like, I can do this. Let really me do the sick renegade. Contemporary routine. Shantae the pain away.
Fifth and plie. We learn that Jasper was staying in his car until Harvey ended up taking him in. His biological dad basically just yeeted away from his family and started over with a brand new family and left his only son. And we fucking sob. We cry for him because that is so much trauma for one little boy. So they're driving in his truck, and because obviously of his trauma, he's very, very sensitive to driving and everything like that. So they almost end up having an accident on the road, and they make it to one of those truck stops where like it's like the ramp.
The emergency banks.
That's it. And Jasper ends up going into shock. Sloane climbs onto his lap and she presses her forehead against his, and she thanks him for saving them again, and he hugs her back and he kisses her nose and he kisses her forehead and he kisses her cheek, and then we die and we get this. Jasper says, I can't ever lose you. Sloane says, you won't. Jasper says, I might. Sloane, Nev cuts her off because I think I'm about to fuck everything up between us. And then he kisses her.
First shot of the night. I've been waiting for it.
Oh my God.
Oh, from the bottle direct.
Sloane is ready to fuck right here and now in this fucking car, right on this emergency stop lane. But it's not the time or the space right now. But they end up getting going again and they stop off at a mechanic's in a nearby town, and Sloane's not having this wishy-washy shit. She's like, you've waited years to do this, fucking years. And Jasper's like, it isn't the first time that I've felt this way. Oh, the gasp.
The Jasper audacity.
Finally gets out the reason that he never showed his interest was because of her dad. Again, fuck that dad. Fuck him right off. Not fuck the dad, but like,
don't
fuck him
fuck
off.
Dad. Like, fuck. Middle finger fuck. Not like, you put dad. Your finger up his ass. Not that no. way either.
So her dad stopped him from going to her big ballet show and going further with her when she was 18. He like threatened to get him cut from the roster of his hockey team if he didn't leave her alone. And because it was all Jasper had at the time, like hockey was it, because he didn't have any family, didn't have anything like that. And because he didn't live on the right side of the tracks, her dad was like, no. But Jasper is fucking done with that though. We get this quote. Times have changed, Sloane. I'm not scared anymore. You're not my fucking friend. You're just mine.
Oh my God.
The gasp.
I need a puffer.
So they're in the hotel room and Sloane sees his tattoo, and it's a ballerina from her first professional piece that he missed. Jasper tells her that all he's ever wanted was to be good enough for her, but he never felt like he was until now. So this motherfucker has been like, I wasn't able to be there, so I'm getting something to commemorate this, and it's a ballerina on my fucking ribcage.
Hold, this is the moment where she sees a glance of it and she's like, wait. He's walking into the bathroom and she's like, what the fuck is that? Walks into the bathroom and he's in the shower, right? It's that scene, right?
Yeah.
Where he's rubber tug tugging, and then splooshes all over the shower screen. That one? That's the moment we're talking about? Yep.
Yes. Look, I've really cut down my notes because they were already quite long, but I'm assuming that these people have already read this book, so I'm not going to rehash every single little detail.
And also, so, like, you need to experience it and not listen to us retell it because...
Exactly. So Sloane is horny and angry and sad at this revelation, and Jasper offers a hand. We get this. I'm going to make you come with his ring on as one final fuck you to that asshole. We're fucking screaming. Jasper is a dirty talk fucking king, because he continues on and he says, so fucking wet for me. Have you been pretending other people were me all these years? Just like me? I bet you have. You might be wearing his ring, but we both know it was my cock you were riding in your head. Look at me, Sloane. Eyes on me, honey. You have no idea how many times I wished I was the man touching you, the man palming these pretty tits, the man with his head between your thighs making you scream, the man filling up this tight little pussy every night.
Feeling.
Like a roast turkey.
That's just a lot of information to take in one setting.
Yep. So we follow that whole part up with, I'm a little bit flustered. We follow that quote up with another one. See, Sloane, you can wear someone else's ring, but we both know you've always been mine. Fucking true.
He's not wrong.
The next morning, Sloane is avoiding him when they go to Violet's farm. When they get there, Violet tells Jasper that they found Bo and he's safe. And it's this beautiful fucking moment where Violet's running and they're all just like crying and, oh, the trauma. We end up meeting Violet's friends here and it makes me want to read all of their books. And PSA, I have just started to hee haha. Jasper and Sloane go to sleep in the cottage on Violet's property and there is tension, right? Tension. Sloane is like, Jasper, fucking talk to me. Tell me what's going on with your fucking head. Because he's just like shut down. He's like, I am overwhelmed. He's me before when I'm trying to read those quotes. He's flustered. But we get this absolutely fucking heartbreaking quote, which, God, the trauma. I feel like I could crumble under the weight of not wanting to disappoint you. I'm paralyzed by the fear of losing you. The thought of needing you this badly and letting you down, it fucking kills me. Oh, sweet little darling honey bun.
And the communication.
Actually saying that, not just like internal monologue, we know where that's at. Like he's like, this is actually the situation. It's giving king energy.
But Jasper admits about his control issues in the bedroom and he doesn't want to just be another asshole telling her what to do. But Sloane is like, fucking hell, mate, listen, don't you get it, Jas? I've seen all the darkest parts of you and I'm still here. I still want more. Stop trying to scare me away. It isn't going to work. Slay. Ugh. So Jasper's like, all right, fuck yeah, done. Let's fucking go. And we get my favorite quote of the fucking book, all right? Everyone, get ready. Get fucking ready. Sloane, lose that fucking ring and crawl.
There's few men on this planet that I would crawl for. This man is one of them. This.
Elsie, crack.
That deserves another shot.
Takes off.
That does deserve it. Throws it. But it's fucking on from there. The cottage turns into a fucking mess as they destroy everything around them in the process of fucking. Jasper makes sure Sloane is comfortable and explores her body bit by bit. Another quote. I was about to tell you that the only way you'd look prettier was with my cum in that tight little cunt.
Oh my god. Oh my god. What do I normally do with my hands?
Big oof. Big oof. Yeah. We fucking die at this whole fucking scene because it's so fucking hot. He's so fucking hot that we all simply just pass away. Yeah. The end.
It's like the bit where he's like, you know, bend your legs like this and then he just presses them down further and he's like, I love how flexible you are. I'm like, oh my god, you're flap-tapping her.
He is.
As we are all reeling from that sexual encounter, Jasper is too. So much so that when he pulls out, he tries to stuff his cum back in her.
No.
Nice.
No, I am.
Nah, get back in there.
No.
Get in there.
I am traumatized from the
What lies beyond the shadows?
No, what lies beyond the veil, and we do not speak of it.
Curse book. Anyways, so after they spend the night fucking like rabbits on every surface, and when Sloane is too sore from his hockey stick dong, she sits on his face. At this stage, they are just fucking all the time, making a mess of each other, and I'm happy for them, but also I feel like her skin would be super dry from that much activity, and then the cleaning, and then the exfoliating beard rash.
You're always very conscious about, you're always like, oh, she would be so dehydrated. She would, like, her skin would just be parched.
Well,
someone
in this
get her
way,
a hydrolite.
That is very true.
She'd be filled and feeling it.
She'd be stuffed like a jam donut.
Or a custard cream.
Custard cream, yeah!
Anyway, as he is about to fuck her mouth again, Jasper is like, no one else matters. No one else in the history of the world has ever actually mattered other than what's happening right now between us, and then edges her until they need to start to drive home.
That's oh, God, cruel. How cruel.
The audacity. As they drive back home, they discuss the plan, and I would like to thank Elsie for letting one of these fucking couples plan in advance somewhat. Sloane is still going to have to deal with Sterling and her dad. Jasper says she should move into one of the houses that he owns because he bought like an entire block. Well, fuck, I love it. Can I just have like one of those houses?
Can I just have one of him and all the houses?
Yeah. Sloane is wondering if Jasper is as far gone for her as she is for him. And well, he fucks her when they pull over for the night, and that apparently convinces her that they could be equally gone for each other.
Say less.
Car sex. Fantastic.
Actually, not that fantastic.
No, it's great in theory. But the fuckathon continues when they get home. Home, and then they get to FaceTime Bo, who looks like shit and has burns. pets on his feet. On his feet. I'm concerned. Like, Harvey's with him, and obviously Harvey and Bo, through the FaceTime, they can even see what is happening and start making cousin fucking jokes. Boys.
The tail babies.
This whole book, by the way, Jasper wears a hat and hides his face. And then all of a sudden, a couple fucks from Sloane, and he's like, I'm not wearing the hat anymore.
I'm a free man. Dobby is a free elf.
Sorry.
I'm in my Dramini era.
Jasper accompanies Sloane to get her stuff from Sterling's apartment, and he's like, I want to be there with you every step of the way. And she's like, no, just wait outside. I need to do this on my own, okay? And he ultimately respects her wishes and waits outside, but then she's like, actually, there's nothing of value in here. I mean, I could take it and then sell it online in Facebook Marketplace, but not worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than selling it or donating it to savers, she just leaves it all there for the white man to inevitably add to the landfill. So
good.
Jasper and Sloane are finding a routine living together from one of his houses, and Sloane is finally doing what she loves for herself. When Jasper comes back from a hockey game, Sloane says that her coochie is the Stanley Cup maker, as he has been playing better since they started fucking.
I love that.
Fucking true.
I love it. She's not wrong.
It's the power of the pussy.
When Sloane tells Jasper about being asked to be the lead in the final performance of the Nutcracker, Jasper does what I did for Ellie when she said she was pregnant. And that is to say, are you happy? And when she says yes, he's like, then fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Here we go.
The beautiful moment is interrupted by none other than Winter Hamilton screaming at Theo Silver in the front yard. Theo takes in the scary, angry lady that is screaming at him, and he's like, smash.
Smash.
Jasper goes to Sloane's performance and is so mesmerized by her interpretive dance routine, which she read that book about their sisters twerking on their dad's table, was like, say less.
Actually, no, she's the Nutcracker. Takes a lot of skill. What book about the sisters twerking on the table, actually?
Trader Queen, remember? It was the distraction. Trader Queen. Oh, the sisters got on the table. God.
I'd forgotten.
Jasper goes to Sloane's dressing room afterwards and shows his appreciation by ripping her tights and giving her some enthusiastic finger guns.
And she's not quiet. She's like,
take me as I am, sir, and everyone else can listen.
Apparently, as they start fucking, and by fucking, I do mean like the artwork on the walls is shaking and Sloane just keeps telling him to go harder.
He's about to like penetrate through you, Sloane. Yeah. Like, take a breath.
They're just like so wrapped up in each other that they barely notice the knock on the door. Mm-hmm. Again, whoa. Sloane's screaming. And it's Sloane's parents, so that's good. Cool. And
hi, mum.
Hi, mum.
Hi.
Although her mum doesn't seem on board with the plan, her dad's like full steam ahead with dismissing Sloane as a fully grown and independent adult and is back to threatening Jasper's future. The whole encounter is just like so unsettling for both Sloane and Jasper. They're both reeling. And due to trauma, Jasper can't say what Sloane needs him to say in that moment. He just kind of shuts down and they end up parting ways to get space and think things through. But Sloane is gutted because she's like, he's done with me. Maybe no. So Summer finds Sloane on the floor of the dance studio, like just staring into the void. And Summer, Winter, and Willa take Sloane out for like a boozy brunch and debrief on everything. And while the girls are just the absolute best, because obviously they are, Harvey is also giving Jasper the tough love he needs in this moment. Oh, I really want to go to one of those boozy brunches though. It just sounds like a really good time. Jasper doesn't even comprehend that Sloane could view this whole interaction as them breaking up. And although he is putting plans in place to show her that he's ready, he's like, oh shit, I actually haven't communicated any of this to her. Instead, I have just like left her in the lurch.
She's just still staring into the void.
You know how we were praising you for your communication earlier? We take it back. Neckmin, Cordelia Winthrop is knocking on the door and turns out she has left her husband. Also, I know Cordelia is like Harvey's late wife's younger sister, but are there vibes?
No.
Ellie's like, there are absolutely no vibes. But Cordelia warns Jasper that her husband and Sterling are going to try to entrap our girl at her birthday dinner because they are actual cunts. Ugh, Jasper is like off in a flash. He's gone. He's doing that spider monkey run all over again. But I mean, like, obviously he didn't even have to worry because Sloane is just not about to just take it anymore. She's in like a fucking immaculate pantsuit and bulldozes through the fucking patriarchal nonsense that is happening. And then Jasper appears and he's just like, Sonny, I'm so sorry I'm late. And I do mean in every sense of the word other than a pregnancy scare.
Oh, hello. No babies here. Too much choking to be had.
Sloane holds her own and Jasper is like essentially just there as her backup dancer while she breaks down these dumb white men. I love it. And when Sterling demands the engagement ring back, Sloane is like, I lost it. But Jasper just says, I fucked that ring right off her finger. Dead. I'm dead to rights. I cannot come back from this.
And he actually did. It's doggy and it's just slowly moving.
With every thrust. So they reconcile that side and Jasper says, I'm sorry you're the only thing that's ever made me feel whole again. I'm sorry I've needed so much from you. Sunny, I'm sorry I'm so damn late, but thank you for waiting. Oh, sobbing.
And kudos to Sloane for not being petty and being like,
you know,
you
wait, crawl.
Fuck you, fucking cruel bitch. Because knowing me, I'm a petty fucking bitch. And I would be no, for my own self-respect, I'm not doing it. You made me wait for too long.
Yeah, also fair. Jasper and Sloane are building a house and a life together now. And their love is on display and everyone is happy. And so then we get to this moment. It's the hockey finals, right? And the whole gang, including Bo, are there to support Jasper, and the team wins, and as they all run to the ice to celebrate, we get to read a fucking proposal.
Finally, I love it.
So many books have skipped this on me, but not Elsie. She ate no crumbs. So we get this moment. Sloane's like, I love you, Jasper Gervais. And Jasper's like, I love you too, Sloane Winthrop. But you know what I don't like? Do you know what I don't like? And she's like, what? And he's like, your last name, Sunny. I really don't like your last name. Sloane Gervais sounds right, don't you think?
Yes.
The feminism leaving my body. Take the man's name.
I know, right? Say less.
Look, I'm dead. I'm a ghost. This shit is so cute and I fucking want to die. I'm on the ice dancing with them. It's great. I'll slide up to them and I'm like, have you heard of Tessa Virtue and Scott Moore?
Oh, no.
Any ice sports? I
know
one.
Have you heard about our Lord and Saviour?
The epilogue for this book is their low-key wedding on the ranch. Harvey gifts Jasper a quarter of the ranch as he does with all of his sons. Sob.
Oh.
And then they get married because that when it comes to you,
so good.
So immaculate, honestly.
Now, I did see something on the TikTok where Bryony posted an immaculate song reference for this book, and none other than Elsie Silver commented being like, yes.
I wanted to frame that, to be honest. So,
tell us.
It's the very first night Taylor's version from the vault. It's like, I drive down different roads, but they all lead back to you because the road trip. They don't know about the night in the hotel. Mm-hmm. They weren't riding in the cart when we both fell. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just perfect. It's so, so good. But also, this series has music playlists in the back of every book. Well, guys, guess what's fucking next?
Imagine if we were like David Goggins' autobiography.
Never.
But no, it's actually the immaculate fourth book in this series, Reckless. So it's time for Theo and Winter.
I've spent some time thoroughly thinking about it, and I think Reckless is my favorite.
Be cool.
Yeah.
So next week, we're back with Reckless. We have a very special guest, none other than the beloved Tay Reads joining us again. For those that have been with us for a while, she was on our Never King episode.
Tay's back for more. She couldn't stay away.
And on that note, we're very excited. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, if you haven't already, at A Book and a Bev Podcast.
Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps.
We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.